The month of February, the American Heart Association has called it the month of the heart. And you know, a lot of times people go for you know, testing of their heart, you know, making sure their cholesterol levels are all fine. You know, American Heart Association tries to focus much on it. And the beginning of this month, February 1st, in my office, the human resources department, they said, please wear red color, wear red, to be able to show for the month of February. So we had a lot of people wearing red color. Typically during Christmas time also we wear it, but even the month of February is considered the month of red. Even yesterday, after our fasting and prayer, we noticed a few of us were wearing red. Suddenly it got reminded me of this month of February wearing red. For those of us who are wearing red, maybe it was a coincidence, or you knew that it was a month of February. But there is something unique about this month of February, that everyone talks about the color red, something about the heart, and again, Valentine's Day coming up in a few days, talking about love. The word love is represented in the form of heart many a times. And it is represented in the color red as well. People give red roses during Valentine's Day to show forth their love. There is a significance of red during the carols time. Also, we focused on the significance of the red color representing the blood of Lord Jesus Christ that was given for us. Today, as we start this new series on perfect love, we're going to focus upon one chapter, and that is from the first letter of Apostle John, 1 John chapter 4. And for that, before we move on, let us read one of the verses from 1 John chapter 4, which is verse 12, all together, please. All together, let us read this, and then we can note down the blanks in our sermon notes. All together, 1 John 4:12. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. Please note down, his love is perfected in us. I hope people have their microphones ready with for each language that we are going to read. Let's now read this same verse in a Telugu language. When it is ready, please read it aloud. All together, those of us who know this language as well.
E manavudunu devuni eppudunu chuchi undaledu. Mana mokani nokadu preminchina yedala. దేవుడు మనయందు నిలిచియుండును ఆయన ప్రేమ మనయందు సంపూర్ణమగును.
Let's read this in Hindi language, so those of us who can read it, it's transcribed in English, so you can all read together in the Hindi language. Let's read it together, please.
Parameshwar ko kabhi kisi ne nahi dekha, yadi hum aapas mein prem rakhe to Parameshwar hum mein bana rehta hai. Aur uska prem hum mein siddh ho gaya hai.
Let's do this in Urdu language now.
Khuda ko kabhi kisi ne nahi dekha. Agar hum ek dusre se mohabbat rakhte hain, to khuda hum mein rehta hai. Aur uski mohabbat hamare dil mein kamal ho gayi hai.
All right, thank you. And let's do this in Tamil language now.
தேவனை ஒருவரும் ஒருபோதும் கண்டதில்லை. நாம் ஒருவரிடத்தில் ஒருவர் அன்பு கூர்ந்தால் தேவன் நமக்குள் நிலைத்திருக்கிறார். அவருடைய அன்பும் நமக்குள் பூரணப்படும்.
Wonderful. Irrespective of which language it is, love has no language, people say. But they have to be represented in the form of different languages. And I want us to be able to get some basics of love. Oh, brother, we all know love. Who doesn't know love? Let me tell you, that is the word that is very, very loosely used. People say, I love my wife, I love my cat, I love my car. They just compare everything the same. I love a person, a thing, I love the weather. Everything that is used, the word love is so loosely used without a clear understanding of the meaning of the word love. We might use this word, you might be telling your spouse, but you might be telling about something else also with the same word love. Today, let it be a clear understanding for us as to what it means by love. Though English uses this word love, the original languages that the Bible was written in Hebrew and Greek, there are different words that are used. Chesed, Ahava, Yada, these are the words that are used in Hebrew. And in Greek, there are other words that are more popularly known in the English world in the present generation. So I just wanted to first let us understand these words that are used. And in English, they are translated as one word that is love. Let us look at that. First word is eros. If you want to note it down, if you turn your sermon notes, it's all blank. You can note it down. Eros. Eros is a love between husband and wife. An intimate love that exists between husband and wife. That is called eros. And it is very badly portrayed as well, though it was not intended that way, with the terms erotic and such kind of words that are used. But it was a pure love between a husband and wife. Second, philia. Philia is the word that is used for brotherly love. Brotherly love, affection that is among the siblings, in other words. That is why the city Philadelphia means the city of brotherly love, philos. Philos is also translated as English. Eros is translated as love. Philia is translated as love. Storge. Storge is familial love or family love. Love among family members, parents, children, and children, parents, and all such kind of relationships that are there. That word that is used in the Greek language is storge, which also is translated as love. And there is one more for which New Testament has coined this word in Greek, which was agape, because there was no word that was able to match with any of the three words. And that word is agape. And that word is the superlative form of love. The love that is cannot be expressed in any other words. That is a sacrificial love, unconditional love, a love that God shows towards us. And that is the word that was used as agape. And agape also is translated as love in the English language. And there is another word, teleio. Teleio means perfect or complete. Perfect or complete. And that is why in some of the translations that we know, other languages that we know, in Telugu, for example, it says, Sampurna Maganu, Prema Manayandu, Sampurna Maganu, complete or perfect. You know, it's a circle. If a circle is twisted here and there, it is not called a circle. It is called an ellipse. If you try to bring it together or shorten it, it's not a circle anymore. A circle is a perfect circle. You cannot, it may be a different sizes, but a circle has to be perfect. That is why there is a Sunday school song which says, God's love is like a circle big and round. For when you see a circle, no ending can be found. And so the love of Jesus goes on eternally, forever and forever and forever. Circle is a perfection that can be seen because it's a complete, exactly 360 degrees that is kept over. That is called the perfection or complete. If you just draw a little bit, that is called an arc. It is not a circle. It is not complete. It should be perfect. And that is what we are going to understand here. Teleio, that is used in the Greek language, is translated sometimes as perfect and some other times as complete. So today, the focus of our attention is on the word agape. There are other kinds of words. During this month especially, people keep telling, I love you. They send Valentine's cards. But what kind of love are we talking about? Is it eros love? Is it philios? Is it storge? Or is it agape? Because the word love people use, just like people use the word God. When they use God, what? Who are we talking about? Similarly, what you and I need to understand is, the Bible talks about the most important superlative form of affection, which is agape love. And during this 3-week series that we are going to have, this is going to be a short series for the month of February, which is going to be focused on perfect love. There are three things that we can understand about this agape. This word agape is called love. I'm not going to teach you parts of speech or English here, but sometimes it helps. It helps in understanding. That is why I keep sharing with you the original language, etc. So now let's look at the word agape itself. Let's just look at the word agape, and there are three different parts of speech that are used, and let us look at that. One is agape as a noun, for which it is translated as love or charity if you use a King James Version. If you use King James Version, 1 Corinthians chapter 13 talks and keeps using the word charity. So agape as a noun is translated as love. When you show charity, it is out of love. And that is how this word was used. But every other English translation uses the word love for agape. Agapao. In the scriptures where we know that it is a noun or it is a verb or an adjective, but the original word is still agape, which is love. So when you read the words beloved or dear, we have to recognize that it is talking about a word which is related to agape in this particular context that we are reading. If I were to take one verse which has all the three, we sang that song. 1 John 4:6. And today we are going to look at two specific aspects about this sermon, which we have picked up from the key verse, 1 John chapter 4 and verse 12. God's love is perfected in us. God's love is perfected in us. That is the first sermon. The next two sermons, as you join us for the next two couple of weeks, we will learn more about this perfection of God's love. So two things, two major headings, if ever, to be able to recognize about God's love perfected in us. Please note it down as the headings. Two things. One is, God is love. Secondly, God loves us. We are going to talk about the downward relationship of God this week. The next 2 weeks, we are going to discuss other directions as well. But today, we are going to focus upon the downward relationship, meaning God's relationship with us. As we continue the next couple of weeks, we will understand the holistic meaning of this perfect love. God is love from a noun perspective. God loves us from a verb perspective. Two things. If at all you want to understand about today's sermon in terms of God's love perfected in us, there are two important elements that you and I need to understand. That God is love and He loves you. Did you hear that? God loves you. God loves me. It is personal, my dear. Maybe you're going through tough times in your life where you're not experiencing the love, but there is one who loves you. There is no one who can love you as much as He loves you. And that is God Himself. The God who is the creator of the world. The God of the Bible that we are talking. He is love and He loves you. In this particular month of February, when we think about the love that is in the air, remember that God Himself is love. So let us open our Bibles. We are going to look at deeper aspects of it from 1 John chapter 4. A few verses. Let us look at that. The first letter of John. I would greatly encourage each one of us to look into your Bibles because that helps us in better concentration. First of all, in verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. For love is of God. Please note it down in your sermon notes. First point, you can note down the reference for your future study as well. Love is of God, or in some other English translations, it uses the word love is from God. Or in other words, the source of love is God Himself. If you want to recognize about this love, the noun form of love, God, love is of God, or the source of love is God. Please read it in any other language, verse 7. 1 John 4, 7 in any other language.
Priyulara, manamu okani nokadu premintamu. Elayanaga, prema devuni moolamuga kaluguchunnadi.
Prema devuni moolamuga. The source of love is God, not human beings. It is sourced from God. What is the source of this water, Deer Park? What is the source of this? We say, oh, from these mountains they are coming from. Similarly, when you think of love, remember one thing, that the source of love is God himself. They're talking about the noun form of it. Who gets the noun form of it? Noun is typically given to a person. And God himself is saying that he is the source of love. Love is from God. Let us now jump to verse 8. In terms of the noun form of this love.
Devudu prema swarupi.
God is love. The one who does not love does not know God. For God is love. Please note it down. Love is from God or love is of God. That means the source of love is God. If the source of love is God, in what way is God related to love? It is very clear. God is love. Premaku moolamu, prema swarupi. In other words, he is. God is love. God is love or love is God equal. They are equal in terms of being able to say, when you think of God, think of love. When you think of love, think of God. Do you think of God? When you think of love, you think of a person. You think of an item. You think of the things that we are having so much affection towards. But let me remind each one of us, when you think of the word love, it is God himself. God is love. He is an embodiment of love. What a wondrous thing it is for us to recognize about the God who loves us. And he is love himself. Verse 9, let us see that. Here it says,
Devudu tana adwitiya kumaruni lokamuloniki pampenu, dini valana devudu manayandunchina prema pratyaksha parchabadinu.
Pratyaksha parchabadam. Let's please note it down in verse 9. Love of God manifested in us. First, God, love is from God from a source perspective. God is love because he himself is an embodiment of love. And he manifested his love. He showed his love as well. He is not love himself. He is not the source of love itself. But he showed love. You see that? God is love is of God. God is love. And there is love of God as well. Love of God as well. Something for us to be able to recognize that love of God was manifested in us. You know what is manifestation meaning? Love is not sometimes an abstract term. But God wanted to make sure that love is visible. Visible love. God's love is a love that is demonstrated or a love that is shown to each one of us. And that is what you and I need to recognize, that the love of God was manifested. So far, we looked at verse 7, verse 8, and verse 9. Let us now go to verse 10. It says here in verse 10, what does it say? Herein is love. Herein is love. What is this? In this is love. The word of God is talking about what is this love. He's trying to explain while he's talking about the source of love, the God who is love himself, and the God who's showing his love is more understandable in verse 10, that herein is love. In this is love. Not in anywhere else is love, but in this is love. Please note it down in verse 4, chapter 4 and verse 10. In this is love. If you want to read in any other language, please read in verse 10.
De manamu devuni preminchitimani kadu. Thane mananu preminchi. Mana papamulaku shanti karamai yundutaku. Tana kumarini pampenu. Indulo prema yunadi.
Indulo prema yunadi. In this is love. If you want to know, where is this love? In this is love. And that is what something that you and I need to understand. And finally, in verse 12, we read that verse as a key verse for today, is towards the end, his love is perfected in us. All these, please note it down, his love is perfected in us. So these are the five things that we learn about the noun form of the word love. Noun form of the word love is expressed in these forms, saying that God is the source of love, God himself is love, God showed his love, and in this, he's trying to explain that in this is love. Don't look at somewhere else for love. Don't go after the things of this world for love. In this is love, verse 10. And then, what kind of a love is this? It is a love that is perfected in us. His love is perfected in us. Paripurnamana. It is a perfect love that he wants to do in us. God is love, my dear. God is love, something that you and I need to understand about God. C.H. Spurgeon told a story about a preacher who was walking in the countryside and stopped by a farmhouse for a drink of water. The old farmer who lived there went out to talk to the preacher. As they were talking, the preacher noticed the barn had a weather vane on it that was spinning around in the wind. You know, weather vane in the direction that you try to show forth. And in that, on the weather vane, as it was spinning around in the wind, on the weather vane, the words, God is love, were engraved. On that particular arrow that is mentioned, it says, God is love. The preacher said to the farmer, I don't think that is a very good way to talk about God's love. Are you saying that God's love is wishy-washy and changes depending on the way the wind blows? That's what the preacher asked this farmer. No, said the farmer. That weather vane is saying, no matter which way the wind blows, God is love. No matter which way the wind blows, God is love. That is something that you and I need to recognize. God is love no matter what. No matter what the situations you are going through in your life, never ever forget God is love. In this month of February and going forward as well, whenever you think of the word love, remember God. God is love, and the direction was shown. Irrespective of whatever the situations are happening in our lives, you may be tossed here and there, this way, Lord, I'm going in this direction, what do I do? That direction. Remember, God is love. The preacher had to be reminded by the farmer. You see that? That was a sermon that the preacher himself heard. Isn't it wonderful that everyone needs to be able to understand what God is and that God is love? Secondly, that you and I need to recognize here is God loves you. God loves you. God loves me. There's a song, children learn, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. For the Bible tells me so. We keep teaching the children, Jesus loves me, this I know. Can you say that? Adults, can you say that? Can you say, Jesus loves me? When we use the word God here, the same God who is love, in what way did he show that love is what we are going to learn now. God loves us. First of all, please see what we can see about God loves us. God has sent his son, Jesus. Verse 9, what does it say? God has sent his only begotten son into the world that we might live through him. He loved us, but he just did not keep saying it that I love you, I love you, I love you. He has loved us and he has manifested that love in us. That's what it says in verse 9. By this, the love of God was manifested in us. Or in other words, for us to be able to recognize the love of God, God wanted to show forth that love by sending his only son, Jesus Christ. Or in other words, God himself coming down in the form of human being. That is what it means. I will come down, God himself said. And he came down as a human being. He's also called the Son of God. Remember that. God himself, Jehovah, came down into this world to save us, and he is called Jehovah Saves. Or Jesus, he's the same Jehovah. God the Father, while he is showing forth his love, he showed his love for us by coming down in the form of a human being. In other words, he sent his only begotten son. Just a couple of months ago, we have celebrated the first advent of Jesus Christ, that is Christmas. Jesus came down into this world. God showed his love. He manifested his love by sending his son. Why? Please note it down as a sub-bullet. So that we might live through him. So that we might live through him. Something very important to recognize here. Why? That we might live through him. God wants each one of us to live through him. The life that we live on this earth, while we are born in this earth, we are living an earthly life. Every human being that is born in this world is living an earthly life. But God sent His Son to come down into this world so that we might have eternal life. We might live through Him. Through Jesus Christ, we have life. That is why the Bible says, Jesus Christ Himself said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He wants to give that life. And that life comes through Jesus Christ alone. And that eternal life comes through Jesus Christ alone. That love enabled us to experience life. Otherwise, we are dead. We are dead in our sins and trespasses. But Jesus Christ has come into this world. Remember that, my dear. Very important. Most of the time, our focus of love is on this earth. But today, may we recognize the love that God has shown towards us on this particular Sunday. In the following Sundays, we will meditate upon the other kind of relationships related to love. But first and foremost thing is, God loves you. God loves me. Remember that. If at all you are going through trouble in your life, if at all you are going through situations in your life where you are not really feeling the love that you expect to have, never ever forget that God loves you and He sent His Son Jesus Christ into this world so that you might live through Him. Secondly, verse 10, it says, in this is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us. He loved us. Why? Why did He love us? He sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Note it down. The second point, the second sub-bullet as to why God has sent His Son, Jesus Christ, is to be the propitiation for our sins. Please read in any other language, verse 10. 1 John 4:10. Papamulaku prayaschittamu. These words are very tough words. Propitiation. When was the last time you used the word propitiation in your colloquial language? No. What is this propitiation? What does it mean? The word propitiation means satisfying. Doing something to satisfy. Or in other words, atonement. If at all you want to understand, if you have other English translations, it might use the word atonement. Atonement means covering. Covering. And God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, into this world to become the Lamb of God for us, where all our sins are put on Him. He took up all our sins to become the propitiation. God's wrath for the sinful nature of man and sinful condition of man was satisfied. The wrath of God was satisfied, the songwriter says. In what way is that satisfied? Through the propitiation. Jesus Christ took that punishment for your sake and my sake. He became a propitiation for our sins. In the same 1 John chapter 2 and verse 2, also it talks about it as to who this Jesus Christ is. By the way, long time ago, a few years ago, as young people, we had a study on this 1 John. Wonderful way in which we have gone through one verse at a time. I get reminded whenever I read this, the first letter of John, chapter 2, I'll read verses 1 and 2. My little children, I'm writing this to you so that you may not sin. If anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Verse 2. He Himself is the propitiation for our sins, not for ours only, but also for the whole world. He Himself is the propitiation for our sins. In other words, He became the atoning sacrifice. All our sins are covered through Jesus Christ, through the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed for us. He became the Lamb of God and became a sacrifice for us. So God could see us through Jesus Christ. Not only we having life through Jesus Christ, God's wrath was satisfied through Jesus Christ and He became the propitiation for our sins. Prayaschittam. He did it. Why? Because He loves you. Why? Why did He have to do that? Because He loves you. That is the answer. Nothing else other than He loves you and me. That is why He sent His Son. Out of the love He has towards us, He didn't just say it in words. He showed it in action. That is what love is. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Life through him, Jesus Christ became the propitiation for our sins. Thirdly, we'll jump a few verses from here and read verse 14. Please read, someone, verse 14. God has sent his son not only so that we may have life through him, not only to be a propitiation for our sins, thirdly, to be the savior of the world. He is the one who is the savior, not anyone. He is the one who has come down into this world to save us from our sins. We cannot save us ourselves. And Jesus Christ has come down into this world. That is what love is, my dear. It is a sacrificial love. He gave himself for us. What more could he give? Oh, how he loves me. Oh, how he loves me. He gave his life. What more could he give? Oh, how he loves you and me. What a wonderful song that is. I get reminded of these songs. Oh, how he loves me. He gave his life. Oh, we just cannot stop worshiping God. That is the kind of love, my dear. We talk about the human love. We talk about the love of the things of this world. We say, I love this pen. And in the same way, we say, I love God. What way are we able to recognize it? But God, when he loves us, he is saying that my love is a sacrificial love. My love gives. Love doesn't expect, but love gives. Something to learn about love. Let us be able to be thankful to God that he has sent his son to do these three things for us according to 1 John chapter. There are many things that we can learn, but just as a reminder for all of us to recognize it. Not only did he send his son to become the propitiation, to give life for us, to become the savior of the world, but also it says in verse 13. Please read verse 13. Any other language? Verse 13, 4:13.
Dini valana manamu ayana yandu nilichiyunnamaniyu ayana mana yandu unnadaniyu telisikonuchunnamu elayanaga ayana manaku tana atmalo palu dayachesi unnadu.
Please note it down. God has given us of his spirit. God has given us his son. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And now we see here, God has given us of his spirit. Not just given us his spirit, but given us of his spirit. These prepositions make a lot of difference. I'm not trying to teach English again here, but something that you and I need to understand, that God has given us of his spirit. Tana atmalo palupam. He enabled us to be partakers of the Spirit of God. Something, you know, it is not just, okay, I gave you little here and there. No, the entire Spirit of God can be experienced in me. God has given of his Spirit. That means I can experience his Spirit fully because I'm part of it. When I'm part of a body, I'm called a body. Similarly, when I experience a part of his spirit, or I'm part of his spirit. That's what it is. I'm part of his spirit. He has given us of his spirit. We are in the spirit of God. And that is what makes a difference, my dear. He has loved us. That's what it says. As his love is perfected in us, in verse 12, by this we know, and then he has given us of his spirit. Holy Spirit of God is given unto us. The Son of God is given unto us to become the Savior of the world, to become the sacrifice for us. The Spirit of God is given unto us so that we may experience him daily, to be sanctified by the Spirit of God. It is only by his love, his perfection of love. His love is perfected in us when he has given us of his Spirit. And that is what we should be thankful to God for. And my dear, this is not just a New Testament concept. God always has been a loving God from the beginning. And that is why you and I need to recognize certain Old Testament scriptures, Jeremiah chapter 31, very familiar verse. We always keep referring to it. Some people get it as individual promises as well. Jeremiah chapter 31 and verse 3. Please read. Jeremiah chapter 31 and verse 3. I have loved you with an everlasting love. That is what God is promising. Shashvatamaina premato ninnu preminchuchunanu. That's what it says. I don't know in other languages how it says. But he is the one who has loved us with an everlasting love. Not something that is short-lived. But he has been a God who has been showing forth his love forever. And something to be able to recognize here. And also there is something that I want us to be able to look at as to why should God love us? Why should God love me? Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 7 and 8. Deuteronomy verse 7, verse 7 and 8. It says, the Lord did not set his love on you, nor choose you, because you were more in number than any of the peoples, for you are the fewest of all the peoples. You may be the foolish of all the peoples. You may be the fewest of all the peoples. The Lord did not set his love or choose you because of that. Verse 8, but because the Lord loved you and kept the oath which he swore to your forefathers, the Lord brought you out of a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of the slavery, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. The Lord has done it. In the Old Testament, if you see here, physically they were redeemed from the land of Egypt, the bondage that they were in. Why? Because the Lord loved them. The same Lord, the same Jehovah loves you. The same Jehovah loves me. And that is why he has redeemed us by sending his son Jesus Christ to be the redeemer for our sake. Something to be able to note down in the same Deuteronomy chapter 23. Deuteronomy chapter 23 and verse 5. Note it down. It's a wonderful way in which we can understand the love of God towards you and I. Deuteronomy chapter 23 and verse 5. What does it say? Nevertheless, the Lord your God was not willing to listen to Balaam. But the Lord your God turned the curse into a blessing for you because the Lord your God loves you. If you want to read about the story of Balaam, it is there in Numbers chapter 23. You can read that at a later point of time. But I just want to focus our attention upon the fact that though Balaam wanted to cause a curse, God did not want to let that happen. And here it says, God, Lord your God, turn the curse into a blessing. Such is the kind of God we have. He can turn the curse into a blessing. Why? Why? Because the Lord your God loves you. The Lord your God loves you. Please read in any other language. Verse 5. Deuteronomy 23 verse 5.
Nee devudaina Yehova Bilamu mata vinanollaku undenu. Nee devudaina Yehova ninnu preminchanu ganuka. నీ దేవుడైన యెహోవా నీ నిమిత్తము ఆ శాపమును ఆశీర్వాదముగా చేసెను.
అండ్ దట్ ఇస్ వాట్ యు అండ్ ఐ నీడ్ టు అండర్స్టాండ్. రోమన్స్ చాప్టర్ 5 అండ్ వర్స్ 8. రోమన్స్ చాప్టర్ 5 అండ్ వర్స్ 8. దట్ ఇస్ ద వండర్ఫుల్ వర్డ్స్ దట్ యు అండ్ ఐ కెన్ రియల్లీ రికగ్నైజ్ డ్యూరింగ్ దిస్ మంత్ ఆఫ్ ఫిబ్రవరి అండ్ గోయింగ్ ఫార్వర్డ్ యాస్ వెల్ వెన్ ద లవ్ ఇస్ ఇన్ దేర్. Let us see verse 8. Let us read this together. Romans chapter 5 and verse 8 all together, please. But God demonstrates his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God demonstrated his love for us. Something to learn. We will learn how to be able to respond to that love in the next couple of weeks. But today, our focus of attention is to understand the love of God. God loves you. Love is from God. The source is God himself. And he is showing his love here in his love. Look at this. My love, I'm demonstrating to you my love towards you. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. John chapter 3 and verse 16, very familiar verse. Many of us have memorized it. During this season of Valentine's, let us be able to look at this once more in a different perspective. Let us read this together, please, focusing on the red letters that are there. All together, let us read this. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Don't look anywhere else for love. Love is right there in the scriptures. The Valentine that you are looking for is right there in the scriptures in John chapter 3 and verse 16. Remember, God loves you. God loves you. Never ever forget that. He loved us so much that Christ died for us to show his love for us. He gave his only begotten Son. Have you experienced that love? Have you experienced that love? Maybe you are yearning for love. What should I do during this Valentine's time? What should I do during this time? Whom should I give? There was one who gave before anyone else has given. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 19 says, we love not because we loved him, but he first loved us. He's your first Valentine. He's your Valentine. During those days, during the Roman times, when the emperor prevented the soldiers from getting married because they were not allowed. Why? Because soldiers were saying, we want to get married. And the moment they get married, they want to take care of their families. And nobody was joining the army. And so the emperor said, no, no more weddings, no more marriages. And it was so difficult for them. And during that time, there was this man, Valentine, who wanted to focus his attention on the love between a man and a wife. And so he focused on it and he tried to secretly marry people who wanted to get married. And that is how this particular story began. The day he died became the day when people were remembering Valentine's Day. But remember one thing, there is someone who died for you. There's somebody who died for you. Do you remember him? The world remembers Valentine's Day, but very few remember the Good Friday. That is the Valentine's Day, if at all, if you want to consider it. Because he is your love. God is love. God loves us. I hope you'll remember this. And if you haven't responded to that love that God has shown towards you, maybe this is the day when you can respond to that love. To be able to recognize, Lord, you have come into this world to die for me. You took my punishment. You became the propitiation for my sins. I should have died on that cross. But you have died for me on that cross. What a wonderful God he is. We should continuously keep thanking God, for he should be your Valentine to start with. As we remember this Jesus Christ who gave his life for us, week after week, we want to remember this love of God towards us by taking part in this table that is set before us. As we take part in it, may the Lord enable us to take part in a worthy manner.